In that.
In that. I've got a joke for you, whoever wants to...
What's the joke?
Knock, knock.
Hi.
Who's there?
Jesus. I eat mop.
I eat my poop?
That works too.
It's good.
Hello, everybody. We had a beer crack planned, and that
you
one happened.
You cracked
instead.
Yours too.
Well, hang on. Wait. There
good
you go.
Crack.
That's a crowler.
Oh.
For you.
Good crack.
Big boy.
Good crack.
Big boy.
Nice crack.
Good crack. There's some good crack right there. I'm Aaron.
I'm Ben.
I'm Doug.
And folks,
there's
haven't said it yet, but
off.
Welcome. There is.
Sorry. That's.
Which you know what that means. It's time for Sotswatch.
Get on the dance floor! Burr, 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 burr.
Sotswatch.
I'm going to let you guys start with what we're drinking, because I'm still pouring mine.
I'm drinking Zipline Dang IPA, which I think I actually had last time. And I'm going to follow it up with an Alpha Modern if I make it.
Ooh. Ooh la la.
Which is a different IPA.
What kind of hops are in those IPAs?
Let me go ahead and tell you the Alpha Modern, because I don't have a sleeve on it. It just says juicy hops.
Mm.
Smooth and juicy. I don't know if I'd say juicy for Alpha Modern.
Is it hazy? Is it a hazy IPA?
No, neither of them are hazy. Dang is an American IPA, so
American.
Dark and tangy. See, I would call Dang more of the fruity IPA, and the Alpha Modern more tangy, but what do I know? I'm an amateur.
You have a palate. You got a tongue.
True.
I was going to drink the apple brandy champura you brought me, Aaron, right? That's what it is?
But.
Champurado.
But yeah.
But I'm not at my apartment. I'm at Gina's apartment, and I left those at my apartment.
Ah.
So instead, I am drinking Angel City Brewery Pilsner. Crazy.
If it's not a cat meowing at you, it's a car honking at you.
I'm in too high.
Or a dog that one time.
Oh, yeah, it was a dog. It might be a dog again before too long. Okay, so I'm not drinking that. I am drinking Angel City Brewery's Pilsner. And the tagline for the beer is put a little check in your step.
Is the check spelled CZ?
Yes, it is.
God damn it. Chelsea will love that one.
I know. I should send you a picture. Pilsner, a crisp golden lager brewed with traditional German and Czech hops, resulting in a slightly dry, hop-forward finish. 12 fluid ounces, 5.6 alcohol, 30 IBUs, 6 SRM, guys.
What the heck does that
mean? It's got a whole 6 SRM?
Yeah, I don't know what SRM is. I don't know what
Serum 6? Is that like the T virus?
Yeah. Serum 6. I'm going to turn into a Teenage Mutant Ninja something. I don't know the animal, but I do know the age range. It's going to mutate me back into.
You're going to be a teenager. You are going to be a ninja. What animal, though? It is
a toss-up.
It's the animal that's closest to you when you're drinking it.
Oh, God. It's going to be a corgi. Teenage Mutant Ninja Corgi, Teenage Mutant Ninja Corgi, Teenage Mutant Ninja Corgi. They have really tiny legs. They can't kick well.
So let's think about this. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were regular turtles, and they got huge.
Yeah.
Would you turn into a giant corgi, or would it go backwards, and you would just be a tiny, like a 2
would
foot
I
tall
be a
corgi,
sized
human?
Human
proportions?
Would I be...
Yeah,
would I be like a human that adapted corgi dimensions? So I look like a really awful, like when that clone of Carl, the clone dog of Carl gets made in Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Oh, God.
I want my name to be Spaghetti.
Oh, God.
That's what it's going to be.
But I'll be
it's gonna, that's what you're going to look like.
Tiny little arms, legs. That's horrifying.
Just one, sigh. Though.
In my mouth, like
yeah?
The new Pokemon. yeah, Aaron.
That's right.
And that's what Aaron's drinking.
I'm drinking. I am drinking Kinkaider's Nut Crusher Peanut Butter Amber Ale.
I mean, it sounds amazing.
Yep, it is. It is Nut Crusher. Basically, it. I kind of believe in magic now. It. They somehow made a beer taste exactly like Captain Crunch Peanut Butter Crunch.
Oh.
I don't know how they did it, but I'm happy they did it. It's excellent.
That sounds amazing. That sounds a lot better. Listen, Angel City, great brewery. Yeah. That sounds.
And I got a whole crowler of that, so probably.
They do a really good job because even their
they do good stuff.
Yeah, even when they kind of experiment, it's not. They don't go crazy.
And to be fair, I don't know that I've had anything of their really experimental ilk, but like their Snozzberry Sour is a very very good sour beer.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the better sours out there.
Yeah, and I don't know how much they experiment with small batch, at least in their tap rooms, mm-hmm. at least in the tap room in Lincoln. But
yeah, I know for Cinco de Mayo they had a whole bunch of oh God, I can't think of the name of it now. Their jalapeno ale,
Devil's Gap.
Devil's Gap, that's what it is. They have a raspberry version now, which is excellent. But for Cinco de Mayo, they had a strawberry version, they had a lime version, they had a cucumber lime version, and a smoked version.
I love smoked beers.
And they were all pretty goddamn good.
Listen, I will take that attitude a lot more than I don't care about Final Fantasy VII.
Oh,
I can't even believe you said that to me. How dare you? I know.
I don't care about it. I'm not against it, but everyone around me is like, whoa, can you believe the Final Fantasy VII trailer? And like, I didn't play the original game.
I want you to imagine
I don't care.
That you never read the Bible. Just imagine you never read it. You knew nothing mm-hmm. about it. Here comes Jesus. It's the second coming. He's down. He's like, shit's about to get rad, everybody. And you're like, who? That's what you just did to me. That's what you just did to my spirit and my faith.
Wait, okay. So in this...
Final Fantasy VII is Jesus.
Final Fantasy VII is Jesus, or Final Fantasy VII is the Bible?
Father. He's the Son, but he's also the Father.
And in this universe, And Jesus is coming back, or this is the first time Jesus has arrived, but there's also
No. This is the second coming. It's the remake.
Oh. Well, listen, if Jesus gets good reviews on Metacritic, I'll check it out, but I can't say for sure right now that I would go one way or the other without context. We avoided talking about this in the last episode because Ben was not with us.
Oh.
He was burning down orphanages in Eastern China. Well, it was a big one, though. We got a trailer for the upcoming CBS All Access series, Picard. I'm going to use the Q pronunciation. Mm-hmm. Picard. The continuing adventures, I guess, of not anymore Starfleet Admiral Jean-Luc Picard, Patrick Stewart. Ben,
yeah,
you always
hated
The Next Generation. What are your thoughts?
It's one of the best TV shows of all time. And it owes a large portion of that credit to Jean-Luc Picard. Its front man, the best captain that Starfleet has ever known. I'm very excited. Also, a lot of the next-gen cast has been said to be at least a small part of it. We don't know. I don't think Riker is coming back because I think Jonathan Frakes' back is literally just too bad for him to really work anymore.
Well, now he's directing at least some of the episodes.
Well, that's good. His directed episodes were always among the better ones.
Yeah. Well, and he's been doing a lot of Discovery too. I would guess we still get Captain, potentially Admiral Riker in an episode. Because he can sit down. He's not doing any action scenes either way.
Yeah. But I mean, I could also foresee a future in which Riker is gone.
Oh, sure.
For whatever reason. And you know, you can,
maybe that's why Picard retired.
Yeah, you can play that a number of different ways to tell, to build tension in your story, and Jonathan Frakes doesn't have to do his awkward leg over the chair sit down.
Excuse me, that's called the Riker maneuver.
Incorrect. The Riker maneuver is when you fill your photon. I can't remember. You do something with your warp drives, and you exhaust the excess energy.
Was that when they shot at the Borg?
Yeah. Because the Picard maneuver is when you briefly drop into warp, so you appear like you're in two places at once.
Mm-hmm. And there was almost a LaForge.
See, I had thought the Picard maneuver was tugging down on the
on your vest,
the shirt.
That's known as the Admiral maneuver.
Yes.
Aaron, you are younger than us, so Next Generation was probably done before you really were watching TV. Do you have feelings one way or the other?
I will say, as far as big name sci-fi properties go, be it shows or movies, I prefer Big Bad Beetleborgs. Mm-hmm. That's just my personal take.
That goes without saying.
You know,
maybe VR Troopers as a clean number too. I think we lost Ben.
Oh, I was thinking that up for a while. Because I knew
good,
this question
good
was
good deep
happening.
Cut. Good one. All the way back. I was always a Brave Star guy myself, but that's...
Street Sharks really had the best commentary of all of them.
If you want the best captain, look no further than, I don't know, Head Street Shark. Blades, I don't think that was hit the lead.
He was a great white
shark. I have no idea what their names are.
It was Ultraman, but he had to go into the computer and fight computer viruses. I'm going to look it up.
They brought it up. I don't remember.
You guys keep talking.
You're not talking about Reboot.
I should have done earlier.
To actually answer the question... I don't particularly have any feelings one way or another. Never really got into Star Trek that much myself. Aside from watching Ben and our father watch it from time
to time.
Aaron
would just be there watching us watch it.
Yep. But I just like, I, meh. I don't know. It's never really my thing. I'm sure it's a great show. I need to
just you can just skip the first season, really.
I figured.
Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad.
Oh, yeah, I've heard good things.
Found it.
Oh my god,
that's the one.
Never
heard of it.
Yeah, I don't know. He was like, I don't know if he was Cyberman or Ultraman. I don't remember. But then you know they brought it over here and like look at these American actors, and then it obviously cuts to other footage.
Sure.
Doesn't matter. They spelled cyber with an S.
All I'm going to say... Sure they did. Of course. Why wouldn't they? All I'm going to say is... How hilarious is it that Big Bad Beetleborgs was trying to be like the middleman between Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers? Because they're just like, oh, the animals being badass are apparently cool. What else is cool? Power Rangers.
Do you remember where that they got their powers?
They have shells.
Shit. They got their powers from
turtles.
A house
How about
full
beetles?
Of monsters.
Oh, yeah, and they had the weird ghost friend.
Yeah, there was like... They had a ghost friend. There was like
a
Frankenstein.
There was
a mummy.
I think vampire.
There was a wolf man. There was an Elvis vampire.
The ghost was like Jay Leno.
Elvis themed vampire.
Beetleborgs. Yeah, you gotta go fight some monsters.
I thought that was
a
vampire.
So really, what we can say about 80s TV is that it was ambitious.
I think that was early 90s at the earliest.
yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's a Jay Leno Elvis.
early mid 90s. Like,
purple crushed velvet suit, but he's blue. I'm just looking at pictures.
Uh-huh.
Oh my god, I completely forgot about this stupid show.
Oh, okay.
Dude, if you want to feel better though, really go look up the look up the intro.
I'm gonna send you guys the thing in our chat.
Brave Star.
I'll have to do that.
Brave Star, the cartoon, a la He-Man, a la Silverhawks, a la Thundercats. But it was about a badass Native American sheriff in space.
That might be another one. I don't know.
We probably are
Did they do VR troopers?
I know that whole song. We don't have to get into it right now.
So. Did you know that they did do a short-lived, I hope it was short-lived, reboot of Reboot?
Did they?
Well, I don't know if it was a reboot or a sequel series, but it was basically like they turned Reboot into VR Troopers. So it was like human kids like going to high school and hanging out at the Angel Grove juice bar. And then like, oh no, a game's coming in. And they have to like run to their digital hideout and they all slap something on their wrist and turn into.
So which Picard guest star are you looking forward to most?
Q.
Do you think? So he'll have to be in it.
Oh, wait, no. He's dead.
Yeah,
isn't
but
he?
Q the character. Well, I don't know if the actor, I'll look it up, but they could still do the character like, do I know you? I'm like, it's me, Picard. Some other guy. Q Collective. Q, but the actor. Oh, boy.
Because he was in Dexter briefly. He was in there for like an episode.
John Delancey. No, he's still alive.
Okay, good.
And he's only 70, so he was
Q
quite a bit younger
than who I'm
than,
most excited for.
Patrick Stewart.
Q and Geordi LaForge. And Data. Data's
so that's
my
weird.
Favorite.
Data's going to be in. They said Brett Spiner's going to at least make an appearance. Every other person, it makes sense. They're older. It's been time and they're humans or whatever species and they age. Yeah. Data's an android, as he says in every episode. I can't imagine Brett Spiner is going to look the same as he did in 1989.
They've already touched upon that a little bit in the movies. In the final episode, of the series, which is called All Good Things.
Yep.
Two-part episode, fantastic episode. But in the future, Picard, because Picard's existing across three timelines, and he's getting confused about it, and in the future version, he meets Data, who has... for lack of a better term, installed aging. So he has like a dignified white stripe in his hair. He looks a little older, but not like in a real way.
Like fake android older.
So that's a potential. There's also the potential that they CGI the shit out of him.
Yeah, I mean, if it were a movie, I would trust you could do some of that Marvel de-aging, but is a TV show going to throw that much money behind it?
Maybe for an episode.
Filming is expected to conclude in October, so we're not seeing this show anytime soon.
No.
$15 million in tax credits. So they're still, to get that much of a tax credit, they're putting some money behind the show, at least.
Mm-hmm.
10 episodes. If it's well received, it'll go more than that, obviously. But
you gotta think that Next Generation is their biggest property right now, because the original series obviously laid the groundwork, but I don't think it ever had the initial or the popularity while it was on air that Next Gen did.
No, it was sort of popular, but yeah, it really, when it was in syndication, when the original series really exploded.
Yeah. And then a lot of that original fan base is
TNG
not as active or not around anymore.
And I'd have to dig into it. I know Star Trek fans, a lot of them prefer Deep Space Nine like just as a series, but I don't know what the ratings were across the shows.
See, but that's exactly what I was going to say. Is like, I think a lot of Star Trek fans love to talk about how good Deep Space Nine is because it gets shit on. But I think a lot of that is just them being contrarian and being like, well, of course, Next Generation's the good one, but Deep Space Nine had some good stuff. And it's like, well, it did, but it doesn't make it the better series.
Well, and it depends too, because we were about the right age for Star Trek TNG, but then like Aaron's generation would have been, that's when Deep Space Nine was on. So,
and Deep Space Nine did some really cool stuff exploring the universe in different ways, but I'm excited to see Picard.
I am too. Aaron, is this? Do you think you'll watch it?
Probably. I mean, it depends on whether or not we can find a way to pay for CBS All Access. Yes, we will definitely buy
separate subscriptions. And watch it there.
Especially
CBS All Access. It has a show.
That's what it's that is what it's gonna be though. It's gonna be every channel is gonna have to have one show. They're gonna have a bunch of filler out there, but if you can get that one show, if you can get your Picard, your Game of Thrones, your whatever the fuck, people will pay $10 a month just to keep up on that one show.
Did you see the Warner Brothers one is going to be $16.99 a month? What are they doing?
Well, have fun.
There was a rumor that it also came with HBO. Now, if that's actually true,
no,
that's not terrible.
If that's actually true, that's less than $10 a channel, which is impressive. If one of those channels is HBO, that's impressive.
Well, and it's so if you have the entire Warner Brothers library and HBO, that's really good. I still think people will see $16.99 though and not care about everything else. They'll just be like, that's more. It's only $3 more than Netflix now, but it's more than everything else. Especially when Disney's coming in hot for like $7 a month or whatever. But they will raise that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Once Netflix is out of their way. Godzilla and Dark Phoenix aren't making a lot of money.
I'm sad about one of those. I'm sad about Godzilla. I wish Godzilla were doing better. Not yet.
Did you do your part and see it, Ben?
I know. And
that's why it's not making any money. You routinely spend thousands of dollars
and,
on each movie trip that you go to.
I haven't been doing my part lately. I haven't been sleeping well.
Because you're worried about the threat
of Godzilla.
That's
my only excuse. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the threat of Godzilla. I just don't want to see if it's how real it is.
It's worth seeing in the theater for the, you know, the big old screen and the sound. Not a great movie. But
that is unfortunate.
If they didn't focus so much of their time on nonsensical human stuff, just for those drama moments,
I'm back.
It would have been so much better. They could have cut a good half hour off of that film, maybe even more.
The first movie, the complaint from a lot of people, not me, I think I had some problems with how they used Godzilla in that first one. It would be like, oh, here he is, and then they'd cut away. Okay, that's fine the first time. You don't want to blow it out. But then they did that like four more times. Like, stop cutting away when you – because they build up a scene, like a modern action scene, where you're like, all right, here we go, and then they cut away and cut away and cut away, whatever. They didn't want to use him a lot. That's fine. And it's a disaster movie from a human perspective. This movie went all the way in the other direction, but still decided they needed a human story and tried way too hard.
Absolutely.
I think they wrote the movie backward. They had to have.
I was just going to bring that up. I think you're 100% correct on that.
No spoilers, Ben. The human story is...
Man, I got to tell you. When is Hollywood... Like, Hollywood is hopefully learning its lesson with Sonic the Hedgehog that you should just make your franchise movie look like the franchise you're trying to make the movie off of. But maybe now maybe studios will start learning the lesson like, hey, assholes, I don't give a fuck about the humans in the Transformer movie. I don't give a shit about the humans in the Godzilla movie. Move me. Show me the monsters.
Godzilla movement.
Show me the Godzilla movement.
Well, and I'll say that's what this movie, the monster stuff was really good. There's a few, like, it gets a little over the top, but whatever. It's 300-foot monsters fighting each other. But then it'll cut back to the humans just doing nonsense. Like, why are any of these people doing any of the things that they're doing? It makes no sense.
Hmm. Well, and that's the other thing. If you have to make your humans behave wildly out of anyone's character in order for their story to make sense or to be relevant, then it's not a good story. It's not like a good B story. You should probably just let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The human story is like an early 90s straight to video action movie. Where it's like this group of international terrorists that have more technology than all the militaries of the world for no reason.
Yeah.
It's silly. Just make them more cunning. Just make them, it doesn't matter. You shouldn't have had international terrorists in this movie at all. You didn't need them. But the movie should have been from the human side. Nope. All these monsters are fighting. How do we get them to stop? Oh, we stopped Godzilla, but now we're really in trouble because all the other monsters are running wild. We need to get Godzilla back to help us with monsters fighting interspersed.
Which is...
But no, they had dumb family drama. They had the dad who just needs to make it up to his kids.
Does he fly his spaceship directly
bad
up
motivations.
King Ghidorah's ass and go, yeehaw!
He does not fly his spaceship.
Is that how he makes it up to his daughter?
I don't think he flies anything. Surprisingly enough,
I don't believe so. But you know, they got that good old MacGuffin.
Boy, did they have a MacGuffin!
Film, Independence Day.
Was that the dumber MacGuffin that we've seen in recent movies?
That in recent memory, yes, MacGuffin. That was pretty dumb. It, yeah.
Oh, well, it's not doing well because it turns out. No matter what you do, you never want to please just the hardcore fans of any franchise because they're always going to see your movie anyway. You've got to bring general audiences in. Like, I was going to see this either way, and I did. And
yeah, but you got to figure tacking extra bows and ribbons onto what was already a beloved franchise, even though, you know, you're always going to get that core audience. They love this for a reason, and if you can expand that, if you can tap into that and show that appeal to more people, that's how you build a franchise, or that's how you get more people to like it. You don't go, hey, people who never would have given Godzilla a try, now there's a curly-haired girl that loves him? What? Like,
yeah. But see, and that's why the marketing was weird for 2014 Godzilla, but I think they did a good job with that of like, oh, cool, I'll go see a new Godzilla movie. Bryan Cranston's in it? That's crazy.
Well, I mean, Bryan Cranston
it was just a good
did
story.
Carry
like,
the
was a
whole
good
thing
movie.
On his shoulders. Every scene.
I was going to say, for all 30 minutes, he carried that movie. If even that. I would wager his character existed, quote unquote, for the first 30 minutes of that story. He had got screen time, maybe about 15, maybe.
Yeah,
20.
That seemed like one where he got $5 million to film for 2 weeks. And I'm not mad at him for that, but
no, I mean,
but the commercials were like, "Oh my god, it's Bryan Cranston versus Godzilla! I gotta go see this."
yeah,
and it was kind of weird that. Spoilers for a 5-year-old movie about a monster that kills people. It's weird that they killed that character off at all.
Yeah, it didn't. Again, it just seemed like one of those things where they wanted a moment to happen.
Yeah.
They weren't really sure why.
Yeah,
just like,
and
well,
your
audience
is good reaction.
React okay, but no, why? No, it doesn't matter. They'll react.
So, hey, Dark Phoenix.
That one's tough because everyone in the universe.
Well, the dude who wrote it has already written a
bad
Dark Phoenix movie.
Yeah, that's true.
I was going to bring up that the College Humor post that I shared in our Facebook chat, saying that we should give thanks to whatever director's name is. I'm gonna pull that up. It's brutal, but so honest. I should have had this chat.
Patton Oswalt took the exact same picture of Trinity Library that I took. Me, Patton Oswalt, and literally millions of people.
Here we go. Simon
but
Kinberg.
But you and Patton Oswalt.
True. and the top of someone's head. Simon Absolutely. Kinsberg.
Maybe it was Patton.
Oh, Kinberg.
That's
no
what,
S.
That's what I meant to say.
But yes.
I was testing you.
Absolutely.
Kissenberg. And...
Yeah, we should be grateful for he wrote two very poorly adapted Phoenix storyline, Dark Phoenix storylines, and also wrote the latest Fantastic Four movie, which, as they put it best, a terrible adaptation of the Fantastic Four so bad that it made the shitty 2000s one look okay. And then they finish by saying we should be grateful because when Kevin Feige inevitably reboots those series, it'll just be even more fantastic than it already would have been.
I hope so. I hope so.
I mean, yeah. So anyway, Dark Phoenix is terrible.
Natural transition. Sorry, I was supposed to say that before. It's, well, actually, the reviews have been weird. Like, on Rotten Tomatoes and all these things is getting slammed. But then the people who I generally agree with, movie critic-wise, they're not saying it's good, but they're like, it's not terrible. There are worse X-Men movies. This one's just the easy one to kind of poop on.
As it so happens, just before this episode, I saw that Red Letter Media uploaded an episode that was covering both Godzilla and Dark Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, that'll be worth watching.
Yeah, that was their half in the bag. And I don't know Red Letter Media well enough to know the people involved. But they basically said, while the critic score was low, user scores were high. One of the two of them said he enjoyed both movies. He's not saying that they were his favorite. He's just saying they were enjoyable. So that he would recommend both of them. I think the other guy was not so enthused.
Yeah. Well,
it was probably... Yeah. I watched it. Mike was probably more forgiving. He's... Usually, with those on that on Red Letter Media, he's a little more inclined to give people a break when it's clearly just made for fans. He's critical of throwing $200 million at a movie that's just for hardcore fans, but he can also be like, yeah, this movie's not really made to win awards.
Yeah, that's fair.
And Jay is the other one. He's more of the film, more of a film critic. But anyway, yes.
Yeah.
With whatever you said, I agree.
I just can't imagine who thought that another Dark Phoenix saga attempt was going to be good. Because quite frankly, I don't know why they even made Days of Future Past except to have to see Wolverine interacting with the other generation of X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And that was entertaining, but...
And to fix the timeline. Quote-unquote fix the timeline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
that lasted a long, 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I really enjoyed, X-Men First Class, actually. I thought that was a great X-Men edition.
So did I.
Days of Future Past seemed unnecessary, and to that end, Dark Phoenix looks a little silly.
Well, and the Dark Phoenix storyline in the comic books, now, not to compare one to the other, except in this regard, the Dark Phoenix saga came after the Phoenix saga in years of... knowing that character, seeing how powerful, and then she turns evil, like, oh my goodness, how shocking. This cast was only in one movie before. It wasn't very well received. And you didn't have, well, they kind of teased the Phoenix thing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they're like, they want to jump into the Dark Phoenix storyline, but you have to earn that one to make it impactful. And they never, X3, they didn't do it, and that was the third movie.
Yeah.
Right.
In that original run. But they just kind of, oh, and now she's evil. Okay, but why? Oh,
Dark Phoenix would have made a good movie for the original series. And then kick movie 3 over to, I don't know, get one of the weird X-Men villains. Like, is it Mr. Sinister?
Yeah.
Like, do some of that for a movie. And have her revive like halfway through the movie, and oh my god, she's Phoenix, she's this force for good, at least give us a movie of her being super powerful as a good person, like as a good guy, so that her fall means something.
Well, and I think it's tough. I think you're onto something with the fourth movie, because she died, quote unquote, at the end of two, yep. if I'm remembering right.
Because then you see everybody. The silhouette of the Phoenix in the water as you rush over.
Yeah. And that was really cool. And then I think you're onto something. If they do a third movie where she's just not even around until maybe the very end, they tease yeah. that she's alive. But that she died and then was immediately back. Yeah. Like, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, and then they apparently, they, because X3 was the their version of the Dark Phoenix storyline in 2007 or whatever?
I can't remember.
Honestly. Whenever that came out?
No idea.
When creeps were directing the X-Men movies. But then it sounds like they just did that again. Like that was their plan. And they changed a lot. They reshot the last part of this movie. I mean, the movie was done filming 2 years ago and they just reshot it a few months ago.
Well, and I've heard the theory that they're changing the end because the original ending was quite a bit like Captain Marvel's.
Yeah, I think it was. They're dealing with shape-shifting aliens, so.
Well, I think it was more that she was going to be like, I need to go into space to learn to control this power. And they're like, oh, mm-hmm. a Marvel movie did that and made a lot more money than this one's gonna.
Yep. And it was probably just as good as Dark Phoenix in some people's opinion. I haven't seen Dark Phoenix yet. That's not fair.
I would be very surprised if Dark Phoenix were as entertaining a movie as Captain Marvel was.
Yeah, that's the thing I've heard. Even the people who kind of liked it, like, it's not, it has no soul.
You gotta have a soul. Guts to have that soul.
Why are movies bad? Like, it's not easy to make a good movie. But these studios make the same mistakes over and over again, and it's maddening.
So, one of the coolest things that I've heard about film is that it is, by its nature, the most collaborative mm-hmm. art form. So many people have their fingers in that pie to make it work, you know, not just the actors, the directors, the writers, the editors, the script editors, you know, the PAs, the BAs, the candlestick makers, the grips, you know, everyone. And there are a lot of places in that line, I think, where people are tempted or are given the opportunity to make mistakes. And because you can't guarantee that everyone on every production is of a certain level, you start to see similar mistakes made just by way of numbers, right? Like, I think a few people were always going to make mistakes like this, but we see them more because there's more people involved and not all of them are as experienced or are of a level experience.
You have a lot of business people in charge of the real big money-making decisions at studios. And again, for some reason, they haven't learned this. Dear every studio executive except for Alan Horn, your instincts are wrong 100% of the time. I don't know where you get your market research about what people want to see, but it's not correct ever. You know what the people want to see? A weird human story about Kyle Chandler and his ex-wife fighting Godzilla, kind of, but not really. Make sure their motivations are never clear. Fans of movies don't want to know that.
Yeah. We need to get them invested in this human story. So what do the humans care about? The audience doesn't care about that.
Yep.
Well,
Monarch is the Avengers now. They have an air fortress. The Marvel Cinematic Monarch. Universe. Which everybody's chasing, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Oh, A, yeah. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You can't recreate that. And B, they make good individual movies and then bring them mm-hmm. together when it's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
When they have a story DC, to tell.
Or if you're DC, you do the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
you make terrible movies and cram them all together.
Why'd you say Martha?
Well, and now we look at what DC's doing. I don't know how this Joker movie, this Joaquin Phoenix, Todd Phillips Joker movie is going to be, but it's going to be interesting if nothing else.
Oh, yeah.
Shazam was a lot of fun. Aquaman was wild. Wonder Woman was good. Once they stopped chasing Marvel's cinematic universe and just started making the director's vision, oh, well, mm-hmm. that's weird. You got some good movies, some hits out of it.
Yeah.
Well, imagine this. DC's been chasing the MCU forever, and now they're starting to finally get some movies, some individual stories with some traction. Mm-hmm. What if, miracle of all miracles, Superman or Batman isn't your cornerstone?
Well, Ben, are you going to tell me right now that you can start off a whole cinematic universe with what would arguably be your B cast? Because I don't think that will ever work in any timeline.
You know, Doug, I think that if you look historically, you'd be correct, except for this little group of movies called the MCU.
Yeah. That's what people forget. Iron Man, like, people knew who Captain America was. People know who Hulk is. People know who Iron Man is. But if in a different universe where Marvel didn't have to sell everybody off, your first MCU movie is Spider-Man, some mm-hmm. version. Your second yeah. one is Wolverine or X-Men with Wolverine at the forefront.
Yeah.
It's completely different, and I think the studio would have been way more overbearing, too. Because you had these side characters, the Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, do whatever you want, James Gunn. Nobody knows who these people are anyway. You get more interesting films.
I think that's fair.
Ben, what you watching?
I'm watching. Actually, I just started this last night with Gina. And I'm not super proud, guys, but it's called Jailbirds. It's on Netflix. And it follows the, I think mostly the women's side of a California prison in Sacramento. Hmm. And it's one of those like documentary series, a little glimpse into the life of the prisoners, a little glimpse into the life of the guards. And if you wanted, like, I honestly couldn't tell you what about it I like more than the other versions of this show I've seen, but I do. I like it. I want to watch another one. We only watched the first episode, but it ended on a cliffhanger, and we were like, God damn it, we got to see what happens. So we started the next episode. So it's good. It's well made. It's well put together.
Sweet.
Huh.
Aaron, what are you watching?
It's been a while. I'll have to try to get caught up again. But I've been watching with our father a little series called Ash vs. Evil Dead. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix. Back in 2017, they said it was canceled after the third season. But surprise, out of nowhere, I think it's 2018 that season 4 was dropped. So we're going through that. If you haven't watched those, you should. Because they lean real heavy into that B-style movie humor. And it's fantastic.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a really fun show.
I'll have to give that a watch.
You're not watching Westworld, huh?
Not yet. But I'm sure Dad will appreciate that.
I hope that third season's good.
I was not a huge fan of the second season, so.
No, it wasn't good.
It was not a good season. The Akichita, mm-hmm. I think is the character's name. Yeah. The Indian chief. His episode was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, they're really good moments. And even the first Shogun World episode was really cool. And you're like, oh, I wonder what they're going to explore with this. You know, all these characters are essentially the same world to world. How's that going to mess with them? Nope. Just doesn't.
Nope. Dip in, dip out, leave a character, gain a character.
It was the wouldn't this be cool season.
Yeah, exactly. I still contest that had they released season 3, but called it something else, don't call it Westworld season 3 or whatever, rename it as something else, and then midway through that season, start dropping hints that, Westworld. This is taking place in the Westworld universe.
Well, I think it seems like the third season is gearing to take place in the real world, quote unquote, as opposed to inside the park. But I could see
them
doing another, like, it was a hologram in a hologram.
Yeah, I hope.
For sure.
Well, I'm calling it now because I've had pretty good ratio on this so far. So swish, Tibbles.
Yeah, that's
true. You have, actually.
And I'm going to give them, they're doing something different. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt until I see a couple episodes.
Sure.
But, what I am watching, I watched If Beale Street Could Talk.
I've heard amazing things.
We watched it a
week or so ago.
Yeah, I need to watch
that. Yeah, it's really, really good. That was not a fun movie, but really just tremendous. Go see it today.
I have to. I also, I need to sit down and make myself watch When They See Us.
Yeah.
I've heard it's effectively like watching a horror movie, but
just the justice system failing over and over again.
I mean, tale as old as time.
But on the more fun notes, still watching TNG. I'm on season 4 now, about halfway through season 4.
What's the most recent episode that you watched?
The most recent one would have been I think this was the most recent. If not, it was like one or two before. But they are stuck and can't dream.
Oh.
So they're all slowly going insane. And Troy is getting messages.
One moon circles, right? One moon circles.
Yep. Eyes in the dark, one moon circles. Yeah. Which is really actually, like kind of a good horror episode. Yeah. It was very different for the series, but it was good. Except when Troy is in her dream and they have her like, just on a harness floating around, like, oh, that's not good. But that was the last one I watched. Yep, that was the last one I watched.
90s floating.
The one before that was when Geordi met that doctor that he accidentally creeped on like two seasons ago and was in love with.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't know her at all.
I forgot
Dr. Leah Brahms.
They do a lot of that like story. That's what I like about TNG. There's a lot of rewarding storytelling that goes on.
Yeah, they do callbacks, even to the first couple seasons, which largely weren't very good. They still bring stuff back.
Yeah. I mean, how many times does Tasha Yar appear after she's dead? Spoiler alert, Tasha Yar gets killed by a toxic, by a super powerful oil slick. Skin of evil.
But I know why she wanted to leave. I mean, you would probably give the show more than one season, but her character was just so
dumb. Her character was had nothing. But a lot of the characters in that first season didn't really have a strong rudder or a strong compass. She should have given. And also, I believe in the first season, maybe even the first two seasons, Roddenberry was still alive and still had a real tight hold on the storytelling. And it wasn't until he died that the writers were like, finally, we can have some conflict. Because Roddenberry had a hard and fast rule that all conflict came outside the ship. The Federation was almost a perfect entity. Because it was his idea of perfect, like, all the nations working together and finding harmony.
Yep, and that he was very big on, well, we can show the ugly side of humanity, but it always has to be a different alien species as the ugly side. Like, okay, well, even in the perfect utopia, human beings aren't going to get along 100% of the time.
Well, what makes a utopia utopia is knowing how to navigate those differences, not having no differences.
Yep.
A flawed utopia, whatever.
But yeah, watching that. And the wife and I are watching Project Runway way back from a while ago, because we hadn't seen several seasons, so.
Here's the thing. I bet a bunch of it's fascinating. I've watched a few episodes. I think some of their, like, all right, designers. Wait, no, is that Project Runway?
Yeah. It's Tim Gunn. Okay.
Yeah. A lot of it's fascinating. A lot of it is just like, you thought that was like a fun thing to dress someone in? It seems like a joke.
Yeah. It's one of those, though, that like we'll be watching it and like, wow, that looks great. And the judge is like, this pile of garbage should never see the light of day. Like, oh, okay. Well, Aaron hasn't seen. Have you ever seen
Aaron hasn't seen
Desperado?
Aaron hasn't. It has been a long time.
Really?
But I really? Has seen Desperado.
I don't think I has seen.
I has. Oh.
Do.
Well, let me tell you about Desperado.
Banderas?
Antonio Banderas. Mm-hmm. Because that's how you pronounce it. Antonio Banderas plays El Mariachi. Who I believe there's like a gun in his guitar.
Awesome.
Like it doubles as a machine gun or something like that. Which is cool.
I'll say that mostly. The gun is in his guitar case.
And then
case.
Cheech Marin is in it.
You have gotten most of the movie just by
oh, that's right,
that.
The guitar case. Yes, I can. Yeah, I mean there is like a love
a Desperada.
Interest slash
Salma Hayek.
Sure. That yeah. And there's I think he has to escort her somewhere or
yeah, pretty much got
I don't
it.
Remember.
Dang, I'm not in it, obviously.
I'm looking up the IMDb.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
and
Danny Trejo.
Just
is
looking
in
at
it.
The cast. You're right. Antonio Banderas, El Mariachi, uh-huh. Salma Hayek, Carolina, Cheech Marin, short bartender.
Yeah, he's only in like the beginning.
Yep,
Steve
Buscemi.
Buscemi.
I think he was also. Oh, I don't
well,
remember.
He plays
him
a guy named Buscemi. So. And Tarantino is pickup guy.
All I remember. Yeah, of course. Of course, Tarantino has to make his cameo where he says racist shit. He's like, haha, what a character.
Well,
I'm
I think
playing.
Robert Rodriguez directed him. I don't remember if he was racist or not. He wasn't directing himself.
Probably. I mean, knowing Tarantino in any movie that Tarantino's in,
yeah,
probability is that he's saying something racist.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So, yeah.
I mean, honestly,
Desperado
what IMDb is giving me for a synopsis is a gunslinger is embroiled in a war with a local drug runner. The end.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those that's... It,
that's fine.
Right. There's not much of a storyline or plot. It's just kind of... but then it was followed up by Once Upon a Time in Mexico, which I believe I had also seen.
Hmm.
Spoiler for the next Aaron Hasn't Seen, if anybody posted that. But that one I remember being a little more in-depth.
Sure.
I mean, it was obviously still... a Rodriguez violence, the movie. But I think it was a little more involved than what Desperado
well, hey,
was.
Aaron has seen if something that serves. Doug and I hasn't.
I don't think I've seen that one. But
you did it. You sat through more Sots Watch. I mean, we did too, but it's more impressive for you. What'd you think? How right were we? How wrong were we? We didn't really have a focus this time except the news, a little bit of talking about E3. Let us know what you think. Hit us up on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. We're Sotswatch, S-O-T-H. Or excuse me, edit that out. I didn't spell wrong. S-O-T. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will definitely edit that out.
S-O-T-S-W-A-T-C-H. That's how you spell it. Sotswatch.
And post your hashtag Aaron hasn't
We need challenges.
For the movies
Challenge
I
Aaron
seen.
For things he has or hasn't
or
seen.
Or have I?
And then we will tell you if he has or hasn't seen.
Do it. Do it. Do it. I'm Aaron.
I'm Ben.
I'm Doug.
Keep watching, Sots.